totally different responsibilities than you've ever had in life. And with that, you have a totally different relationship to your nation. Over time, you're increasingly given more and more responsible service in your nation. One day, the president asks you to serve as an ambassador. You're honored, but you're also humbled. You really didn't necessarily, in those early days of thinking about serving in your government, think about specifically what you might do. You just were anxious to serve. You wanted to give of yourself in the very best of ways. And now, you've been asked to serve in one of the most responsible, significant ways that anyone could serve their government. As you're being sworn in, you're reminded that you are a representative of the nation and of the president. You do not, in this role as ambassador, represent yourself. But of course, you've been serving your government for some time. You know this very well. You've been attuned to this. This has become a way of life to you. It's not about you. It's about your nation. It's about the ruler. You must always say and do then as directed by the president to honor him. After the ceremony, you're taken to a hospital, and there a tiny device is implanted behind your right ear. Through that, the president will guide and correct and encourage and enable you, and he will respond to every question that you have about what you are to say and do in this new role of service to your nation and your president. Now imagine another scenario with me. Imagine that you are a person who believes in God and that you're serious about having a right relationship with God. So you go about learning all you can about God and about His will. You want to be in the best possible relationship with Him. So you learn in the process of this that you're a sinner. Even with all of the best of intentions, you're human. You're not God. You're a sinner. And you also learn what God has done through Jesus to save you from the consequences, the punishment, for your sins. You come to believe in Jesus. And so, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, you repent of your sins and you're baptized into Jesus Christ. You receive the forgiveness of sins and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what is this gift of the Holy Spirit? You wonder. And so you begin turning through the pages of the Bible and you begin asking more mature Christians. And you find a passage in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 5 on through verse 11. And it impresses upon you, as it has your fellow Christians, what this Holy Spirit and its significance is about. There we read that those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 reminds Christians, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? So this gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift God gives of placing his spirit within us individually, to live in us and to give us life and peace. There may be a lot of things that go on in this world that are not peaceful for us, but that peace that we have through the Holy Spirit living within us, that is the most important peace, because that is peace with God. The Holy Spirit then is implanted by God within every person who's baptized, just as that tiny device that I talked about earlier was implanted in that ambassador. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit teaches us, that it encourages us, that it guides us, that it helps us, that it empowers us, that it gives us joy, and that it guarantees our inheritance with God. So the Holy Spirit within us enables us to reflect God and to serve God to his glory. When you take into account all of those things, how on earth could we possibly live a Christian life without the Spirit being within us? It would be impossible, wouldn't it? And so the Spirit is vital to be within us, to live within us, to bless us. When we're baptized and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are immediately sanctified through the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean? Wayne read earlier from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11 about all of these things that we were variously. And when Paul writes this to the church in Corinth, remember, he's writing to Christians. And he does not give a complete exhaustive list. He gives a representative list to say, these were some of the things that were in your lives that were sinful, that caused you to have a life of hostility toward God. You may not have realized it at all, but that's what God realized. But God has cleansed you. God has sanctified you. Your life is now different entirely than it was before. Those things, they're all gone. And you live a new life. You are sanctified. To be sanctified is to be set apart for sacred use and made holy. It is to be set apart from that which is common and unclean spiritually. Sanctified people are washed clean of sin and are dressed symbolically in spiritual purity. Sanctification renews us in God's image, the image he created us in, the image he intends for us to live in and to reflect throughout all of our lives. Every person who is baptized into Christ is sanctified. And because of that, every person who is baptized into Christ is a saint. There is no special order. There's no set aside of those who somehow reached a certain level of spirituality. Every person baptized into Christ, every person who received the Holy Spirit, every person who therefore is sanctified is a saint. That's what it means. Praise God that he has done this to us and for us, because we could not, in our wildest imaginations and with the best of our abilities, do that ourselves. Before baptism into Christ, each person is separated from God due to sin. But after baptism into Christ, each person is separated from the world and to God. That's really the ultimate meaning of sanctification. separated from the world and separated to God, to God's service. Sanctification is God's grace. It is an aspect of his love. It's something he chooses to do out of his love for us. It frees us from our past sins. It frees us from slavery to Satan so that we can be holy like God and so that we can serve God in a way that glorifies God. The sanctified life, then, is a life that is surrendered to God's service. Each Christian is sanctified to be God's son or daughter. We're sanctified or set apart to be God's servant. We're set apart to be God's slave. Now that doesn't sound attractive anymore, does it? Unless we think about the nature of our God and what God has done for us and what he's doing for us and how he does and will treat us. Then that changes the whole nature of it, doesn't it? One student of the Bible said this: the Christian's surrender is not to an outer authority, but to an inner living fellowship. The sanctified life is a life of personal fellowship lived out with the Father in the Spirit of Christ, in loving trust and obedient service. The sanctified life is so fully surrendered to fellowship with Christ day by day that inner spirit and outward expression are ruled by his Spirit. It is a life with God in which he graciously gives himself to us and which we live out with him and with our brothers and sisters in the Spirit of Christ, which is his Spirit. And so Jesus would speak of being in him and he in us, being united in this absolutely full kind of way. Sanctification is our position when we're baptized into Christ. It's not, again, something we attain to. It's not something given later. It's something that's immediate and automatic. Jesus' great prayer in John chapter 17 is all about sanctification. His apostles, and future Christians. Every future Christian. He acknowledges what God had sanctified him to do, what his role was, when he says to the God the Father in verse 4 of John 17, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. You see, Jesus was sanctified, set apart by God to do a specific work in a specific time for a specific purpose. And then he went home. We need to think of ourselves as Christians in that same way. God has set you and I aside as Christians to do a specific work in a specific time for a specific purpose. And then he will take us home. You've not finished your work on this earth in service to God if you're still here. Whatever your age, whatever your abilities, whatever it is that God has gifted you to do, whatever opportunities he's opened doors for you to step through, your work for him, your sanctification is not completed as long as you're alive. You have much to give to God, much more than you may credit yourself for. But you need to give the credit to God and say, God, how and where would you use me now? Because things change. Jesus elaborates on this business of sanctification in verses 6 through 8 as he speaks of the work that he had completed with his apostles. He asks God the Father for their protection. And then he talks about his apostles' sanctification in verses 13 on through verse 19. He says this to God the Father: I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they, his apostles, may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of the world. Why? Because like Jesus, his apostles were sanctified, set apart from the world, set apart to God. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then Jesus says it, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world to do a specific job in a specific time for a specific purpose, Father, I have sent them into the world with a specific job in a specific time for a specific purpose. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Now there's something within that last verse that we may not think about when we read that. Hasn't Jesus already been sanctified? What is he saying here? He's saying, I will not allow anything to distract me in these last days and hours from the task you gave me to do within the time you gave it and with the purpose you gave it, than to give myself wholly to these apostles of mine. And Father, I ask that you do the same with them, that they not become distracted or discouraged or disillusioned despite everything that might happen to them. Sanctify them, Father. Help them to be pulled away from the world and drawn closer to you to do exactly what you have in mind for them to do. So Jesus' apostles were sanctified or set apart for specific work serving God. Jesus was very clear about their purpose, wasn't he? We read what we call the Great Commission. And Jesus is very clear what he has in mind for them to do. And his apostles not only understood it, but they committed their lives to it, the entirety of their lives, for as long as they lived, however long or short that may have been. They did not allow anything to distract them from it. Through the centuries, Christians who understood that the Holy Spirit sanctifies them at their baptism have given their lives to honorably serving God. Jesus' follower, Paul, showed that the sanctification of Christians involves holiness, imitating the purity of God, and reflecting God's image in us who are Christians to his glory. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 8, finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Could it be that while they wanted to live as they'd been taught, living a God-pleasing life, living a Christ-like life, that they were being distracted, that they were being discouraged, that they were being disillusioned? For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should be set apart from the world and to God's service, that you should avoid, therefore, sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy or like God and honorable, not in passionate lust, like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life like God. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gave you his Holy Spirit. And so here Paul comes back full circle to the idea that if we are sanctified people, and we are when we're baptized into Christ, it is because the Holy Spirit lives within us to do all of those things that we talked about a moment ago, for our benefit, to make us holy like God, and to cause us to be able to serve God as he intends for us to. The sanctification Jesus spoke about in John 17 is focused on the work, then, that God has set us apart from the world to do. 1 Thessalonians 4 is focused on the person God has set us apart from the world to be. So there's being and there's doing. And we don't have a choice of one or the other. Sanctification in this text, then, is concerned with each Christian conducting himself or herself in a way that shows that they're following the lead of the Holy Spirit. They're producing then what Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 through 25 calls the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9 has this sober statement, or rather verse 8, that's followed with the warning that's given again in chapter 5 and verse 19. And that warning is not to put out the Spirit's fire. In other words, not to ignore the Holy Spirit being at work within us, having an ability to give us ability. But we have to seek for that. We have to cooperate with that. We have to yield or surrender to that. By the Spirit, each of us who's been baptized into Christ then has been sanctified or set apart to serve God. So we've been baptized. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living on us, and we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we've been sanctified and set apart to serve God. But how? How? King God has commissioned each one of us, in all of our imperfections, to be his ambassador. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 17 through 20, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and if we're baptized into Christ. We're united with him," so says Romans 6. "We're united with him in death to sin. We're united with him in resurrection to a new life in him. We're interwoven with him. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. A ministry of reconciliation, a message of reconciliation, an ambassadorship to call people to reconciliation. You and I who are Christians are not the people we were. Not the people we were before baptism. We're not the people we used to be. We're new people. We're united with Christ. And you and I have faith that he has forgiven us of all of our sins. We better have that faith, hadn't we? Because if we don't have that faith that God has forgiven us of all of our sins, we make God out to be a liar. If we've got a problem with that, we better go to God about that, hadn't we? That God correct our hearts. We have faith that God will provide all of our needs here, don't we? Or are we still like the people that Jesus spoke of back in Matthew 6, who believe in God, but they believe that they're responsible for their own well-being, and that God's just kind of in a never-never land, somehow out in the future. But he doesn't really take care of us here. And we believe that he will take us to live with him forever. Don't we? Or do we wonder about that? If we've been baptized into Christ, don't we have the same hope as Christ? Isn't that what he tells us? He'll come back and bring us to live with him forever? Don't we have the promise of God that he'll provide for us according to our needs? Don't we have the promise that if we live the Christ-like life, glorifying him in every way we possibly can, living as a reflection of him, that we will live with him forever? And so now we must have faith that God will enable us to accomplish the work that he set us aside to do. The message of reconciliation is the message that each of us have. We may have a variety of other tasks that God has given us uniquely to do, but that's one that crosses across all of us. We are sanctified for that. Paul wrote to Christians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 23 through 24 to say, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." We're sanctified by the Holy Spirit when we're baptized. We're set apart from the world to serve God. We're set apart from the sinfulness of the world to live in the purity of godliness. But we're still humans, and we still sin continually. So we continually need to be sanctified by God, both purified and set apart in service to him. Sanctified. That's a blessing of God's grace, which comes only through the Holy Spirit and only when we're baptized into Christ. Have you been? Have you been baptized into Christ to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to live within you and bless you in multiple ways and to set you apart from the world to serve God uniquely and wholly? If we can be of help to you in any way, we encourage you to step forward right now as we stand and sing this song.